Okay, ma'am, first, I'm gonna ask you a question first. Can you see us on the screen at all?
No, there's nothing on the screen.
Okay, I just wanted to verify that. We've been having some problems with all this stuff. So, first thing I need you to do is state your full name and your ABC number for the record, please.
Sharita Mickey, 326023.
Thank you. You're appearing for the Arizona Board of Executive Clemency this morning in reference to a request for a pardon. I'm gonna introduce the board members that will be conducting a hearing this morning. We have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman, the Honorable Gail Rittenhouse, the Honorable Will Canonis, and my name is David Neal, and I'll be the hearing lead. Right now, I will tell you, looks like we have your husband Richard, who's in the gallery, and is, I guess you wish to speak on her behalf at that? No, you just wanna observe? Okay. But your husband is here to observe the hearing, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you're appearing in regards to your request for a pardon. It looked like you only asked for a pardon for the one particular charge that you're actually incarcerated for at this time. I'm gonna go over some information. I will start by saying it's very unusual for this board to have someone come in with a request for a pardon while they're incarcerated, especially short-term incarceration. Most people that come before the board have served the term for one or two offenses. They returned to society, been successful, had their civil rights restored, had their gun rights restored, and all that stuff, and they've hit a bump in the road because there's still a charge out there, and it affects their ability to go higher in their employment, or some people it's just a matter of personal pride to be able to completely clean up their record. So it is a little unusual, but I'll conduct it as a similar to a parole hearing. We'll go from there, okay? You understand, ma'am?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm gonna go over some information about you, your sentencing, the offense, and as we go through it, if there's information that you feel is incorrect, you can bring it to my attention, we'll discuss it more, and once I've gone through the basic information, then we'll have more of a discussion with you, okay?
Okay.
All right, so you're 45 years old at this time, and we're seeking a pardon for your conviction, which is by plea agreement, the conviction and the three-year incarceration on a dangerous drug violation, which began February 12th of 2018. So you've served a little over a year of the three-year sentence. Your reason for seeking a pardon, according to your application, is that you feel that you were bullied by the prosecutor into signing the plea, and he would not listen to your mitigating circumstances. And apparently, you had turned down a plea agreement, and this one that you accepted was the second offer. You say that the prosecutor wouldn't allow you to go back and take the first one you already turned down. You also stated in there that when you said you needed a week to prepare for prison, that the prosecutor gave you another year in prison. I don't quite understand that, but we'll go over that in a couple of minutes. And part of the reason that you think you should be able to receive a pardon from the governor is you feel that you've learned a tremendous amount about why you never will do drugs again, and you've been scared to death about this entire situation. So that information sounds fairly correct to you, but most of it comes directly from your application for this pardon and what you put in that application.
Yes, it sounds correct.
Okay. So now I'm going to go over some information about this, the specifics about the offense. For the record, we have a letter from Maricopa County Attorney's Office dated March 7, 2019, in opposition to any kind of a pardon or release, anything early other than what was in the stipulated plea agreement. And I'm going to read from that letter to get some of the information out as to what the offense involved. This is in July of 2018. Mason Police received information that you and your husband Richard were selling meth from your apartment at 2610 North Record Road, just a few miles away from the Bush Elementary School. On August 10th, 24th, and September 20th, you sold meth to an undercover Mesa police detective at locations near your apartment. Your husband sold that same undercover detective meth on October 17th, but it was you who arranged the deal. On October 18th, Mesa police served a search warrant at your apartment, shared by defendant and your husband. During this search, officers found items tying you and your husband to the apartment meth, paraphernalia, digital scales, and micro baggies. You were interviewed after you were transported to Mesa City Jail. Throughout the interview, you lied and tried to minimize your obvious major involvement in drug sales. You initially claimed you only suspected your husband was selling. Then admitted you knew he was selling and claimed that you didn't want to get involved. You tried to pass yourself off as a reluctant occasional drug seller as opposed to the regular coordinating seller the investigation showed you were. During the plea negotiations, the state insisted on a prison plea due to your repeated continuous misconduct. Not only were you selling meth in this case, you undoubtedly were selling well before Mesa police got involved. You were doing this out of your apartment, less than 10 minutes away from elementary school. Instead of being the simple addict that you undoubtedly tried to portray yourself as, you were spreading poison to other community members. Recent reports indicate that more than 1,300 Americans died from drug overdoses in 2018. And you were a key part of that deadly distribution chain. Maricopa County Attorney's Office also went on to quote some information from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals, and they recognized the dangerous, often deadly results of drug dealers, they held the following, and this is quoted from documents from the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals. Except in rare cases, the murderer's red hand falls on one victim only. However, bring the blow. But the foul hand of the drug dealer blights the life after life, and like the vampire of fable, creates others in its owner's evil image. Others who create others still across our land and down our generations, sparing not even the unborn. So that's the basics of it, with some fairly vivid details of the county attorney's opinion. So I'm going to move here to Ellis, the pre-sentencing and plea documents. And there was something in criminal history. Unfortunately, this packet is in a really good, a little hard to look at, mostly because it's so small. So, according to the sentencing documents, there were it all came down to the end, there were only four counts that were involved in this plea agreement. You pled guilty to, I believe, count six, dangerous drug possession or use. And that particular count you pled guilty to, and with a term of 3 years, to begin March 21st, 2018, with like 37 days credit for time served. The other three counts, you were given terms of supervised probation when you were to finish this three-year sentence. There are quite a few more things that were done in the original so when you were arrested, there were quite a few more charges that were put forward to the county attorney's office. And when they got a paper, there were only four of them left. So that's a fairly good summary, I think, of what brought you to prison this time and what the sentence is. I will go on to say that in the short time you've been in there, you had two tickets, one in May of 2018 for disobeying a verbal, but you were found not guilty on that. But then in July of 2018, you were given a ticket for unauthorized smoking. You were found guilty. It's only a minor, but the discipline in the short period of time you were in there was very disturbing. But your criminal history, and according to what you said, you had 16 misdemeanor counts of prostitution. Quite a few years back, but you got it on there, and there's two felony, previous felonies listed, but you claim that those aren't you, but somebody who stole your identity or used your identity when they got in trouble, and that you got an investigation for that identity theft going.
Yes.
Okay. So, what I'm going to do at this point in time is I'm going to put it to you to explain to this board why you would like this pardon and why you feel you have rehabilitated or what has happened in your life since you were sent to prison that will make you a good candidate to receive a pardon and be released from prison back into the community. So, in your own words, why do you want this pardon and why do you think you deserve it?
Well, since I've been incarcerated, I've attended AA, A Way Out, and Confined Addictive Behavior classes, which I've got certificates of completion for. I believe they help me recognize my triggers, and I'm confident that I can become a productive member of society after learning this and learn how to deal with it. My children are back in my life, and that was one of my triggers. I'll be on probation, which means I'll still have to go to treatment. I'll still have to get evaluated mentally. I know what I did was wrong, but I've learned my lesson. I'm never going to touch drugs again.
Okay, so what have you done since you were incarcerated to that would indicate that you're not going to go out there and deal drugs anymore? AA and NA, and those NA and AA are good, the 12 steps are real good to stop addictions and that sort of stuff, but they're not really intended to teach anybody to not be a drug dealer, not to go out and ruin many lives with their actions.
Well, I've completed A Way Out, which it helps you understand why you were doing what you were doing and stuff. And I've learned that there's nothing in this world that will make me ever touch drugs again. Not to sell them, not to use them, anything.
Okay. Well, I will explain something here, and we explain this to all people that that come before the board requesting a pardon or just a commutation. I don't quite understand why you didn't just apply for a commutation of sentence where it would be reduced to time served versus a pardon. A pardon won't take it off your record, doesn't make you any more of a likely candidate to get a job than if you had served your time or even if you'd got a commutation. But with commutations and pardons, the best way to describe it is the bar is pretty high that the person requesting this has to reach, and much higher than for a parole to be granted to the least unproductive society. And the board has to consider a lot of things in this, and part of what we consider is if it is something worthy of sending a request to the governor to grant that pardon. And I want you to understand, this board does not grant pardons at all. All we do is to decide whether or not to forward it to the governor with the recommendation of a pardon. And so today we will decide whether we forward it to the governor or whether we don't forward it to the governor. But regardless of which way we decide, it is not a pardon today. Okay? And if it was a commutation of sentence, it would be the same thing. It would be whether we recommend it for the next step. The pardon is one phase that is eliminated, and that's the commutation. We have two phases, phase one and phase two, before we go to the governor with a pardon of just this hearing today. But the bar is pretty high. It's kind of like getting a Congressional Medal of Honor versus just getting a Silver Star for doing something valorous in combat. And that's one of the easiest ways to describe it that people understand, but the bar is really, really high. So the standards are pretty high. I'd like to ask you a couple of questions about your plea agreement. Now, you accepted the plea agreement, but you turned down one plea agreement. Did you have an attorney during that process?
I have an attorney who got three continuances in a row. She didn't explain anything to me, so I really didn't understand the first plea. And then when I finally got a new county attorney, or not a county attorney, a new public defender, he explained it to me, and he said that he wasn't going to go any lower than 2 to 3 years. That's when I asked if I could have a week to get my affairs in order since I was going to prison, and he said, yeah, he'd give me a week, but he was going to give me another year.
Was the prosecutor told you that?
Yes.
Did you have an attorney that represented you during sitting there during that process, listening to that conversation?
Yes, at the second time I did, but the attorney I had, I didn't feel he was helping me at all.
But you had an attorney, was it a public defender?
Yes.
Okay, but you were represented by an attorney during the conversation with the prosecutor about your plea agreement?
Yes.
Okay. Because you feel that you were voting in that plea agreement, have you filed any for post-conviction relief with the courts?
The only thing that my lawyer sent me was the packet for pardon. That's the only thing he sent me afterwards.
Who's he?
My public defender.
So he just said it to you, no conversation, no explanations, nothing like that?
No.
So you just got a package in the mail and it was an application for a pardon and nobody explained to you what the process was or anything?
Exactly.
Okay. So did you ask your attorney to file for post-conviction relief? That's normally something that a judge explains during sentencing, is that you got an opportunity afterwards. If you don't feel that you were treated fairly, you can file in the courts for them to review the case and what went on and what was said, and You know, because this whole plea agreement's gone over in front of the judge before everything is signed and you're actually sentenced. Well, I just, you know, I've been on the process many years. I've never been a defendant or an inmate, but I've been on the other side, and I've been to sentencing hearings, and all this stuff is quite explained quite well. And you were asked, I'm sure, if we got the court transcript, you were asked if you understood it and you accepted it, and you would have had an opportunity at that time to tell the judge you felt that you were bullied or treated unfairly or had ineffective counsel, different things like that.
My lawyer told me not to say anything.
I'm sure the judge didn't tell you to not say anything. He probably asked you if you understood what was going on, and you had to answer that. So let's go back to your offense. So how long were you dealing drugs before Mesa actually arrested you?
9 months.
9 months. Do you have any idea how many lives you destroyed during the 9 months?
No.
Okay. Do you realize that right now in the state there's a huge push to get the drug dealers off the street? People with minor possession and possessions for use rather than for sale are the ones that they're talking about reducing sentences on, and that drug dealers are the big target because of how many people's lives they destroy?
Yes.
Okay. So did you ever during that time period think of how many people, how many kids might be getting hold of drugs, or how many mothers might be pregnant and ruining their babies? I know a family that adopts children. That's 7 children they've adopted. Every one of them is a drug baby. And I've seen it. I've seen
it. Matter of fact, we were getting ready to stop even using or dealing. We were getting ready to move and stop because we didn't want to be involved in it anymore.
But 9 months, that's a long time. You know, I don't know how many sales a day you made. But I'm sure you don't know how many people beyond who you sold to might have gotten hold of the drug that you sold. But did you ever stop and think about even one mother that might be pregnant that gets hooked on your drugs, and if she has a baby that comes into this world is addicted to drugs, never had a chance? You know, a lot of those babies have to have feeding tubes until they're 4 or 5 years old. Okay, let's see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time. No questions? Sir, would you like to say anything? Okay. I just want to make sure whether your husband wanted to make a statement or not. Okay, ma'am, we're nearing the end of this hearing. Before the board goes into discussion and make a determination, would like to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Anything else you'd like to tell us before we make a determination? Now is it your opportunity. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us, ma'am?
Sir, I was clean and sober off of drugs for 20 years. This was a 9-month relapse. I understand what I did was wrong. But it was a relapse after being diagnosed with severe fibromyalgia, my father-in-law getting sick, and then finding out that my parents didn't have custody of my kids while they had me convinced they did. It's not something I'm proud of, and it's not something I'll ever do again.
Okay, thank you, ma'am. Well, we're just going to go into discussion to make a determination. We'll be talking amongst ourselves to discuss this. You may think we're addressing you, but we won't be. We'll be just going over your case. So we're asking to stay on the phone, but remain silent, and once we get a determination, I'll get back with you, okay?
Okay.
What was my discussion? Well, this is definitely a tragic case. And the tragedy of all the lives that were disrupted and destroyed and possibly terminated because of dealing drugs. And one of my problems with this is the attitude that comes forward from the application and even the conversation today. was being considered a long time to stay in jail for 9 months of drug dealing. And that only she accepted pleas that she would do, but she didn't take the opportunity to say the same thing to the judge. This comes nowhere close to the level of, to the height of what we expect before we would recommend something to the government. And this doesn't come even close. And so I would not recommend this young woman to the government for consideration of a pardon. But I'm going to listen to discussion from my fellow board members if they're listening. Mr. Thomas.
Thank you, Mr. Dean. Just very briefly, is well within Ms. Zemecki's right to seek a pardon, but I don't think the rationale for the request is reasonable, and I wouldn't support any variation of funds in this case. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Dr. Wright?
I agree. Not fully. I don't see nothing extraordinary that we could recommend to the governor. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so based on our conversation today and the information and those packets, the information for Ms. Zemecki, I am going to make a motion to not recommend her to the governor for a pardon.
Second.
Agree.
Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Canales, agreed by Dr. Wright and Ms. Rittenhouse. Okay, now the board has voted unanimously to not recommend you to the governor for a pardon. We do wish you the best luck, and I really hope that you have learned your lessons so that the rest of your life you can stay away from drugs, especially not deal drugs anymore. So this will be your hearing, and if you didn't talk to the CFA?
No, sir.
No, sir. This will be your hearing, and you can hang up the phone and just advise the CFA when you're finished.
Okay, thank you.